Chapter 4. Montana in the 20th Century. Why did homesteaders come to Montana? What is assimilation, and how did the push for assimilation affect Montana Indians? Who immigrated to Montana after 1920? When people think of settlers moving west, they mostly imagine families crossing the plains or flat land, in covered wagons. Most Montanans, though, came to the state in the 20th century. They came by train, car, or even airplane. Homesteading. No single movement affected Montana history more than homesteading. Between 1909 and 1917, thousands of people from all over the world rushed to Montana to fulfill the dream of owning their own farm. In 1862, the government wanted to fill the United States up with farmers, so it passed a law that gave people 160 acres of land if they would live on their farms and grow crops. At first, homesteaders, people who received land from the U.S. government in exchange for farming that land, went to the rich farmlands of the Midwest, where there was enough rain and good soil. When that land was all taken, they started looking farther west. Most homesteaders came to Montana after 1909, when the Homestead Act was changed to allow settlers to claim, take for their own, more land, 320 acres, or the size of 242 football fields. Some homesteaders found out about opportunities, chances for something better, in Montana from friends and family members who were already here. Most learned about opportunities from advertisements. Railroad companies published or printed many of these ads. They wanted farmers to move to Montana so the railroads could have more customers. To get people to come to Montana, they published advertisements in many different languages. They also hired speakers to travel across Europe to encourage people to immigrate, move from one country to another. Push factors, things that make people want to leave their homes, played a role too. War, poverty or being poor, and discrimination, treating a group of people unfairly, led many Swedes, Norwegians, and Germans to leave their homes and take out homesteads in Montana. By the end of the homestead boom, time of great prosperity or rapid growth, newcomers had claimed almost 25 million acres of land in Montana under the Homestead Act. Hard times. Farmers need rain to grow crops. When homesteaders first started coming to Montana, the weather was unusually wet. Drought, or lack of rain, hit Montana in 1917. And the next few years were even worse. Prairie, or grassland, fires burned houses, barns, and fields. Insects ate everything green in sight. Topsoil blew off the fields, creating giant dust storms. By 1925, many of the immigrants, people who moved to a new country, who had come to Montana to homestead, had left the state. The drought taught farmers and ranchers that they needed much more than 320 acres to make a living. Farmers and ranchers who stayed bought the land abandoned or left by their neighbors. By 1950, the average Montana farm was 1,689 acres. In 2019, the average size of a Montana farm or ranch was 2,156 acres. How much bigger is that than a 320-acre homestead? Even harder times for Montana Indians. The immigrants who came to Montana were looking for better lives for themselves and their families. Unfortunately, their arrival made life worse for the people who were already here. The late 19th and early 20th centuries were horrible times for Montana Indians. The federal government pushed tribes to give up most of their land. Buffalo had been hunted almost to extinction, death of a species. To survive, Indian people began to farm and raise cattle. The land on many reservations, land tribes reserved, kept for their own use, was not very good for farming. Many people went hungry. The federal government wanted Indians to give up their own cultures, languages, customs, and ideas, and adopt European ways. This is called assimilation. Even though the Indian agents, non-Indians the government put in charge of reservations, made it hard, Indians worked to keep their cultures alive. They continued to speak their own languages and practice many of their traditional or old ways. They also continued to educate their children. Before Europeans came, Indian children did not go to school. Instead, their families taught them about the natural world, or science, as well as about their history and how they should behave, or social studies. They learned to make art. They also learned how to hunt, gather food and medicine, and make tools. They learned other skills they needed to help themselves and their families once they grew up, too. To force Indians to assimilate, become absorbed into the majority culture, the government funded boarding schools. At these schools, children as young as 6 lived apart from their families. The government wanted to separate the children from their families so they could control everything they learned and destroy the connections children had to their own cultures. Parents were punished if they refused to send their children to boarding schools. At boarding schools, children were punished if they spoke their native languages or tried to practice any of their traditional ways. Life at many of the boarding schools was very hard. Students studied for half the day and worked the other half. Students did the school's laundry. They worked in the school's dairies or fields to produce their own food. They worked in the school kitchen, and they sewed most of their own clothing. There was not enough money for good food, and children lived in very crowded dormitories. Many students got sick at boarding school, and some died. Sometimes, when children returned to their reservations after attending school, they discovered that they had forgotten their native languages and only knew how to speak English. Sometimes that meant they could no longer talk with their parents or grandparents. Montana Indian parents and tribal leaders knew that their children needed to learn new skills. They did not like the boarding schools, but they did like some of the things, like math, reading, and writing, that the students learned there. They fought for the right to send their children to day schools so they could learn while living with their own families. Tribal leaders knew that education was important. They believed that at day schools, young people could learn the things they needed to be successful in the changing world while keeping their connections to their own cultures. Immigration after 1920. Large-scale immigration to Montana ended with the end of the homestead boom, but the state has continued to attract some new immigrants. The Mexican Revolution was a push factor that sent many people from Mexico north looking for work. Farmers needed people to work in the sugar beet fields in eastern Montana, and many Mexicans found jobs there. German-speaking Hutterites came from Europe seeking religious freedom. Hutterites live on large farms called colonies. The first colony in Montana was established in 1911, but most Hutterites came to Montana after World War II, 1939 to 1945. Mining and logging attracted many immigrants during the 19th century because they were a big part of Montana's economy, business, and jobs. However, after the 1920s, these industries, types of businesses, no longer drew many newcomers. Big machines did much of the work originally done by people. People still worked as miners and loggers in the 1950s, 1960s, and 1970s, but the industries did not need as many workers as they did before World War II. In the late 1970s, many Hmongs settled in Montana, particularly in the Missoula area. The Hmong, or hill people, of Southeast Asia fought on the same side as U.S. troops during the Vietnam War. After the war, they were chased from their homes in Laos and Vietnam. Now many make Montana their home.